This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All. It is spring training, and we actually have something positive to talk about right now because the Baltimore Orioles, who started out, what was it, 0-10-2?
Looking at this, yeah, 0-10-2.
Yeah, 0-10-2. They are now 2-1-1 this week.
In their last four games.
That is quite impressive there, by the way. So it's not all doom and gloom that the Baltimore Orioles have been so bad during spring training. They've actually picked it up a bit. You could maybe even say it was a little bit of a slump, and then there you go. It's a young season, Josh.
Yeah, and guess what? Hyunsoo Kim Ray, he had three hits. He got three hits.
Wow, and Pedro...
He can hit against Major League pitching.
Yeah, that's something to behold because he's your wild card this season. Everyone's wondering what Hyunsoo Kim would do. Also, Kevin Gausman, can he finally get off the schneid and be able to be clutch as a pick? Or could it be also Pedro Alvarez? He made his debut on Sunday. It's been a quite exciting week for the Baltimore Orioles during spring training down there in Sarasota. It was... I couldn't really watch any games because of the limited availability of them, but you can listen to them on the radio, and that's something that I did throughout this week. I actually listened to a spring training game, Josh.
Yeah, with Kevin Gausman, since you brought him up, it's kind of weird because when I look at the stats here this year for spring training, I know for the majority of them, they necessarily don't matter, but the ones that you look at, of course, are the guys that will most definitely make the club. Kevin Gausman is not only going to most definitely make the ball club, but he may possibly be your number three starter. He's only had one start this year, right? Two innings, three strikeouts, and we're just sitting here wondering, are the Orioles protecting him right now for the season? Do they want him to just have this one start and then maybe get enough rest to go into the season, since he is a young guy and you do want to preserve him for as long as possible?
Yeah, and he might still have that innings limit on him too that you have to worry about. And I also saw this past week that Matt Wieters had to undergo an MRI for his elbow, and that just makes you freak out.
Considering
his injury prone last year, but it was just sort of a precaution because his swelling actually went down, so I don't think it's going to be anything major.
Yeah, and don't also forget the offer sheet that he signed to as well, because, of course, if you got a guy like Matt Wieters who has been with your ball club since, 2006, 2007, right around there, that possibly if he were to get hurt in these stages of his career, he's going to be 30 this year. Not saying 30 is necessarily old in baseball, but you're no longer a spring chicken. He's going to have, he's going to have that angst towards him where fans are going to say, oh, I knew we shouldn't have put an offer sheet for Matt Wieters. Here we go again. Got to get Caleb Joseph and company catching. Caleb Joseph's not a bad player himself.
Well, the minute that Chris Davis has an offer, people are going to be having the pitchforks and torches raised at Camden Yards.
Now, when you say an offer, do you mean like 0-4, 0-8?
I mean 0-4. As soon as he goes 0-4, because they're going to be the diehards that think, oh, well, with that contract, he's going to all of a sudden inject himself with all the money and become a 1,000 hitter.
Inject himself with the money. I don't think that is primarily healthy to do.
I wouldn't say that at all. Do you not know where some of this money has been?
Yeah, I know, but I was just saying because there are some kids who eat quarters and they have to go to the hospital for that sort of thing, so I wouldn't recommend it.
Ugh.
I know.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
I mean, they should be eating full dollars.
Kids do.
Come on, raise your standards higher.
Kids do the darndest things.
Please do not try that at home, kids. I assume no liability for you eating and swallowing dollars and everything like that. It is not healthy. Not a good idea to do. It's like rolling around in toxic waste. What in God's name were you thinking?
All right, so going back to our last show, which was right around Tuesday, March the 8th, where the Orioles lost 5-1 to Boston. They were 0-8-2. And actually, correction, they were 0-8-1, and we were wondering, are they ever going to get a win? Well, let's go from that week. Not going to read you the winners and losers and who hit home runs or whatever, because that's why we had the regular season for, to look back on those days. So we're weeks away from opening day. So for now, we're just going to read you the wins and loss scores here.
You know, it already feels like opening day outside, too.
Yeah, it does. And then they're calling for snow sometime this weekend, too.
No.
No, probably not. I'm just kidding. That's depressing right there. So Wednesday, March the 9th, the Orioles lose 8-4 to the Philadelphia Phillies. Thursday, March the 10th, they end up tying their home game in Sarasota with the Yankees 4-4. On Friday, they go on the road to face the Yankees, lose 7-1. Saturday, March the 12th, they win, Ray. They win their first game in whooping fashion, 8-1 against the Minnesota Twins at home in Sarasota.
Woo!
And then Sunday, March the 13th, they lose to the Twins on the road, 14-5. So, yeah, after you give a whooping, you take a whooping the following day.
But you keep on cooking.
Yep. So
I was going to say take a licking and keep on ticking, but I tried to find something that rhymes with whooping.
Yeah, and Monday, March the 14th, Orioles win at home, 8-7 against the Philadelphia Phillies. And then, of course, the day of this podcast, Tuesday, March 15th, they tie 6-6. So you're not going to win the Grapefruit League Cup or trophy or whatever the heck they're calling it in Major League Baseball nowadays. However, I do think going 2-1-1 in your last four games has to settle some angst amongst Orioles fans at the moment here. I mean, considering the fact that the stats, the wins and losses don't necessarily matter, the one thing that should matter is the production of guys that need to make the team. I mean, am I right or am I wrong on that one?
And that, but have going winless in spring training does kind of put an exclamation point over top of your head, and it kind of makes the fans get a little antsy and angsty because it gives them something to focus on, and that's something that's really negative to focus on because that's what a lot of people do in spring training, where the only thing positive that I thought people were focusing on in spring training in recent memory was one Jake Fox who led the majors in home runs. That was something positive that people were looking at, but it was an extreme. And losing all your games is an extreme. Not having a single win is definitely an extreme, and the fans were focusing on that. Now that that's been lifted, they're going to be focusing on something else, and you got to find out what exactly they would want to focus on. What about one Miguel Gonzalez with his, did you mention in the pre-show, 22.5 ERA?
22.24 earned run average with an 0-3 record in three spring starts this year.
That could be something that the fans will be focusing on, and not in a very good way.
Yep, and you mentioned Jake Fox, and you mentioned guys who are overly productive in spring training, and fans put a big magnifying glass and magnify that by 1,000. Well, one guy who has had solid numbers as far as the power numbers go was one 24-year-old first baseman slash outfielder, Christian Walker, who in 14 games has 6 runs scored, 3 doubles, 1 triple, 2 home runs, and 8 RBIs. Sounds great and everything, but his batting average is .269, and his strikeout-to-walk ratio is 4 strikeouts to 1 walk.
Well, when you give those other statistics, it sounds great, but that just shows how you can frame something and make it sound good, and then all of a sudden, yeah, but he did this.
Yeah, but you have to look at it this way, because you already have a stacked lineup enough as it is, because obviously Mark Trumbo is going to take one of the outfield spots. Pedro Alvarez is going to be a DH by default. Chris Davis is going to be your everyday first baseman. So do you see Christian Walker, the 24-year-old first baseman slash outfielder, do you see him, Ray, starting the season at AAA Norfolk, or do you possibly see him being a contributor off the bench come opening day?
Well, I see him as a kind of a bench player, because something with those stats that you saw right there, it's decent for a bench player.
Absolutely.
You said Chris Davis could be your everyday first baseman, but we all know these guys don't play every day. They're going to be taking games off, and the way Buck Showalter likes to, you know, jimmy a lineup here and there, the guy, the way he works a lineup makes my head spin, and I just think to myself, man, does this guy just have like a chalkboard where he just throws things up at random and just sees where it lands, or does he actually have a calculated plan or some type of disorderly order? I'm not really sure about that, but we know how Buck Showalter likes to manipulate a lineup, and Christian Walker could be a key player right there, as the Orioles need a little bit of depth. Yeah, great lineup, stacked lineup.
Yeah.
Not all of these guys are going to perform the way you expect them to, and some of these guys might actually get hurt. So you need something in the backup in the wings, and if Christian Walker can play like this, like he's been in the spring training, and actually translate that to the regular season, that's going to be quite valuable for this ball club.
I totally concur with that right there. Looking at other guys who have been solid so far in spring training, your second baseman, Jonathan Scope, and your third baseman, Manny Machado, have been both equally having very successful springs so far. Manny Machado batting .304, had 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, 2 doubles, 4 runs scored in 8 games. That's always nice to see. Jonathan Scope, Ray, 1 home run, 5 RBIs, 2 doubles. Not a lot of strikeouts in 29 at-bats right there, hitting .414 with the batting average. So that is an impressive sign right there for the young Scope.
Yes, Jonathan Scope, your key centerpiece in infield, because everyone's talking about the outfield because they want to know who is going to be playing right field, who's going to be playing left field. Is Adam Jones going to be covering both sides of the field? No ideas. But nobody really ever had questions at infield, and it seemed like it was pretty much set. Scope would be your second baseman. Davis would be your first baseman. Hardy's your shortstop, and Machado is your third baseman, with Wieters and Joseph playing around as catcher. So you would hope that these guys would actually perform, because Jonathan Scope is your young up-and-comer. J.J. Hardy is the one that you really want to see some type of production out of, considering he had a really bad 2015.
By the way, J.J. Hardy, 333 batting average this year in spring in seven games.
Ooh, yep. Sexy. I do hope he translates that into the regular season, because that was one of the difference makers, I think, last year, why the Orioles were losing in one-run games instead of winning in one-run games, is that was J.J. Hardy's production at the plate went down considerably, and he actually is a key component to your success this year, along with Jonathan Scope, if he can continue his uprise that he showed last year. And him as a second baseman, you got to have him perform, and he's got to be your everyday second baseman, no doubt.
Now, we're probably going to be having this question every week until we're blue in the face, but leadoff hitter right now, before we go into pitching, leadoff hitter right now, Manny Machado or somebody else, probably Jonathan Scope.
I would like it to be somebody else, and I like Machado to hit a little bit more down in the lineup to show more of his power.
But two, probably.
I like to see him either at number two, or I'd like to see him a little lower than that.
Oh, so you would bump Jones up then, or bump him down?
Yeah, I would like him to either be two or six.
Okay, all right, I could see that.
Because the way Machado has, he's got both power and he's got contact. So you want somebody like that to be hitting a little bit deeper in the lineup, but at the same time, you need somebody with contact to lead off so you can get the pitch count up. And right now, Manny Machado is key for that. But hopefully somebody else can step up in the average department, be put in a number one position, and actually perform well in that number one leadoff spot.
All right, so now we're moving on to pitching. And one of the big stories, of course, this week on the Baltimore Sports Free For All is the starting pitching spots. One of the starting pitching spots, that is. On one side, you have a young pitcher in Tyler Wilson, who, after debuting last year in 2015, he's 26 years old, and his current status right now in spring, he's pitching a 2.89 earned run average. He's been in four games, started two, 9 1/3 innings pitched, six strikeouts, no walks. Then you have a guy that's been on this club since 2012 in Miguel Gonzalez, who is 0-3 with a 22.24 earned run average in three starts this spring. Of course, we brought that up earlier. And he has three strikeouts to four walks. Ray, do we have a number five starter controversy in Baltimore right now?
Huh. We always have a number five. It seems like we always have a number five starter controversy in Baltimore right now, and especially around this time in spring training, because I remember the Adam Eaton controversy that was around there where it was like, who's pitching for the Orioles this year?
Yeah.
Could I do it? Are they having open tryouts?
Yeah. I mean, because let's face it, in no particular order, it's Yovani Gallardo, Chris Tillman, Kevin Gausman, Ubaldo, because let's face it, you're paying Ubaldo on a $50 million four-year contract. You got on year three of that so far.
You have to grit your teeth and bear it, and hopefully he can have the same success he had last year.
Yep, and then five is up in the air, and right now I think the scale? I think the scale is headed towards Tyler Wilson's favor right now. Miguel Gonzalez is not looking too good right now.
Yeah, there's that, and there were talks about if he was actually going to be getting a starting position in this rotation even before spring training. So it seems like he's on thin ice right now, and he's not doing much to help his favor. Maybe that's what's got him down right now in terms of his performance in spring training, is that his morale's down and he just feels like he's going to lose it.
Let's see, one more guy we got to point out. Odrisimar Despaigne, who the Orioles picked off of waivers.
Who?
Exactly. Five games, he has an 8.22 ERA, 13 hits allowed in 7 2/3 innings, has three walks, one strikeout. Ray, is it safe to say this guy's not going to make the opening day roster?
Yeah, it's very safe to say.
If Despaigne makes the opening day roster as a reliever, I will be very shocked.